We live in a physical world. And so it's easy to begin to think that our blessings are all going to be physical blessings. But there's a problem with that. I heard a speaker on TV saying,
"Favor is not fair."
I'm sorry, I just had to do it the way he did it. I don't know why. And he said, let's say that you're driving in your brand new Cadillac and everybody else is envious and they're like, oh man, he's got a brand new Cadillac, and you say,
"Favor is not fair."
As if God had given you that Cadillac. So apparently, brand new Cadillacs come from God and then allow you to be all smug about it. Right? You don't have a brand new Cadillac.
You must not be as faithful as I am. Favor's not fair. God favors me. He doesn't favor you because you're driving that clunker.
I think that misses something truly important. Please bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this day. Lord, we're blessed. So incredibly blessed, Lord. Thank you. Our biggest blessing, Almighty God, Lord, we do have blessings that are physical, and we thank you and we praise you for them. But Lord, our biggest blessings are spiritual. And Lord, the physical things fade, don't last. But the spiritual blessings that you give us are eternal. Thank you, Almighty God. We don't have the words to thank you adequately. Thank you. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for all that He's done for us and continues to do for us in our lives. Lord, I pray that you'll be with me, that I'll speak from your word to your glory. Thank you, Almighty God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
This morning, we're going to be looking at John chapter 6, verses 30 through 40. John chapter 6, verses 30 through 40. As Jesus is talking to this crowd that has sought him out, he tells them, "You are seeking me, not because you noticed the sign, but because you were fed." And he also says, he encourages them to work for the food that dwells or lasts for eternal life. And I think that's significant because I think as they respond, they're responding to those two things. So in verse 30, "So they said to him, 'What then do you do for a sign so that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?' 'Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat.'" So they say to him, okay, what sign? And literally it says, what sign are you doing? Okay, he said, you didn't get it. You didn't see it. And so they're okay, well, what signs are you doing? Show us and we will believe. And then they say, what are you working? Literally. He encouraged them to work for a bread that lasts for eternal life. And so they turn that around on him and say, well, what are you doing? What are you working? Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. See, there was a Jewish expectation that when the second Redeemer came, he would feed them every day with manna that fell from heaven. Just like Moses did. That wasn't a one-time thing. And by the way, I love that it's called manna. Because manna means, what is that? Exodus chapter 16, they wake up in the morning, there's this bunch of white stuff on the ground, and they're like, what's that? It didn't look like any kind of bread they've ever seen, so when they came time to name it, they named it, what's that? Had nothing to do with our lesson today, I just think that's funny. They had manna. And they had this expectation that it would come in a miraculous way. And so they quote Exodus 16 and verse 4. He gave them bread out of heaven to eat. See, when Jesus fed over 5,000 people. Sure, he did that in a miraculous way, and it was from a young man's lunch. That's pretty cool. But as far as they're concerned, it didn't drop from heaven. And that's what they're saying. They're saying, okay, you're telling us to see this sign. Well, explain the sign to us, because the sign really should be every day we receive this bread from heaven. So Jesus responds. Well, first of all, before we get to Jesus' response, I think there's a lesson there for us. I think sometimes we are surrounded by the miracles of God, but because they're not grand enough, we want something else. Right? I think that's why people flock to faith healers. It's not that I don't believe God can't do some amazing things. I've seen him do some amazing things. But we want to see evidence, and we want it to be spectacular. We want to see the guy whack the guy upside the head and say, "Be healed!" We want to see something amazing, and what we're surrounded with doesn't feel amazing enough. And isn't that sad? So Jesus responds. Verse 32, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, always give us this bread." So Jesus responds, and again he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you," which means pay attention. This is important stuff. You need to be aware of this. It's not Moses who gave you the bread. Now, did you know that they didn't even say it was Moses? But that was their expectation. The second Redeemer will give them bread. And so he says, it's not Moses who gave you bread. So therefore, it's not going to be the second Redeemer. It is my Father. And when they quoted the verse, they quoted it in the past tense because that's what it says. He gave them bread. Notice what Jesus does with that. My Father gives. Present ongoing tense. My Father gives you bread from heaven. And this is the bread of God. And the word, the New American Standard translates it, that. That word can also be translated, he. And isn't that interesting? This is the bread of God. He which comes down, or whom comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Now we know, because of what he's going to say later, he's talking about himself. But they don't get it. This is the bread of God. He comes from heaven to give life.
Amen.
Life can mean just normal everyday life. I don't think that's what he's talking about. He's talking about life that comes from heaven. He's talking about spiritual life. That's what Jesus came to bring. Spiritual life. And notice, he brought that spiritual life to the physical world. So God breaks in to our reality and gives us spiritual life. Is that not enough? Because when we make our blessings all about the physical things, we make our faith a this worldly faith. And the truth is, when you are a Christian, there are absolutely no physical guarantees. I wish there were. Now, don't get me wrong. God does heal people. I've seen him do it. And we do receive physical blessings from God. We're sitting in one right now. We do not have to worship God out there. Because most of us wouldn't survive it. We have these blessings, and that's great and that's wonderful, but there is no guarantee of those blessings. I had shoulder surgery and was told that they didn't have to do as much, so I would heal in 4 to 6 weeks. It's been 6 weeks now. And I still can't sleep. And that's really frustrating to me because I sleep well, normally. It's one of the few things I do well. I can sleep. I'm like a cat. And by that, I don't mean I've got great reflexes. I can sleep, but now I can't. It's frustrating. So what am I going to do with God? Am I going to say, look, give me back my sleep or I'm going to stop believing in you? He's given me life.
Amen.
Is that not enough? And don't get me wrong, it's still frustrating. I'll be honest with you. Last night I got up about 1 o'clock, took some more pain meds. Then woke up at 3:30 and took some more pain meds. And then woke up at 4:30. And I didn't want to take more pain meds within an hour. So I went down to try to sleep on the recliner, and I was angry. I'm like a little child throwing things around. I know there's going to be times when it's frustrating. But there are no guarantees. God never guaranteed me that He would heal my shoulder. I still am going to pray that He does. I want to sleep. And I'll keep praying. But the real blessing I already have. Jesus has already given me life. Is that not enough? The people respond and they completely misunderstand what He's doing. They say, give us this bread. Always give us this bread. Because again, they're going back to their expectations. See what they're doing. They're saying, Jesus, we'll believe in you if you measure up to our expectations. Do you know people who do that with God today? Right? I had a young man tell me that he didn't believe in God because he prayed and he prayed and prayed and God never gave him what he was asking for. Now, I understand that. I understand the frustration. But in a sense, what we're saying to God is we're saying, I'll believe in you when you measure up and you'll act like the God that I want you to be. Right? And that's exactly what they're doing. When you show up and you act like the Messiah we're waiting for, then we'll believe in you. But God don't play that game. God will be who He is. That's why His name Yahweh means I am. He is not, I'll show up in every way, in whichever way you want me to be. His name is I am. We do not get to dictate to God who He should be. Verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. This is the will of Him who sent me, that of all that He has given me I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of the Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in Him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. Jesus says, because they're not getting it, so He makes it very clear. I am the bread of life. And did you notice He's basically using the name of God again? I am. Yahweh and Jesus are one.
Amen.
I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger or thirst. And that because again, we have this tendency to slip right into the physical, right? And we could think that, oh, if you're a Christian, you'll never go hungry. Hmm. try preaching that to our brothers and sisters in Honduras or Haiti. It won't preach. Because they go hungry every day. And that doesn't mean they don't have enough faith like some people in America think. They live in a part of the world where it's just not going to happen to most people. That's not his point. His point is, if you get to the point where you understand that I am the spiritual bread, you will not long for other things. And yet we do, don't we? I long for my shoulder to get better. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong for praying about that. But if I long for that so much that I give up my faith in God because it doesn't happen, I have missed the point.
That's right.
And this gets hard. I know it gets hard. Because if we think that God's got to heal those people we love so much, and then He doesn't. Or if we think that we will always have enough food to eat, and then we don't. See, I grew up in a family where we sometimes didn't have enough food to eat. Now, we didn't have to share our bowl of cereal like Gary did in his family. But I can remember one time I was at college in Oklahoma. And I was feeling a little nauseous, and they happened to be serving everything that makes that worse that day. And I went to get a bowl of cereal, and I cried. Because there were times when I was growing up that was the absolutely only thing in the house. Because at that time, cereal was pretty cheap. I'm pretty old. That's not that funny, Jill.
Sorry. I didn't mean to embarrass her. I'm sorry.
God never promised that. What He promised is, if you get Jesus, you will not have this longing for all this other stuff. You're not going to sit there and say, God, I need a Cadillac. He gave you Jesus. What do you need a Cadillac for? That's his point. And he desperately wants them to understand. And in verse 36, we've got to talk about what he's doing there, because I think this doesn't get translated well. In none of the translations that I have, he says, "But I said," and then "to you" should be in quotation marks. Because remember when he responds and he says, "The Father gives to you"? He's going back to that saying, and he says, "I said to you," quotation marks, "and you've seen me, but you didn't believe." See, the Father is giving them the bread of life, and they've seen the bread of life, but they don't believe in the bread of life. It's not enough to see Jesus. I had this guy come up to me with this picture that he was so happy about because he could see Jesus in the clouds. That's all well and good, but what are you doing about it? Nothing. I'm not going to change anything in my life. I just think it's cool he's in the clouds. There's a lot of people that like the idea of Jesus. Jesus is cool. The millennials are way into social justice, which is great. And they love Jesus because he's way into social justices. But somewhere along the way, they've loved the idea of Jesus, but they don't love Jesus himself. Because there are things that Jesus calls us to that they don't like. It's not enough to see Jesus. You also have to believe in Jesus. And then he says that in verse 37, it sounds like it's a little bit like predestination. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And it sounds like what he's saying is that God's going to pick and choose people and say, okay, you're going to come to Jesus, and you're going to come to Jesus. Sorry, you're out of luck. I think verse 40 clears that all up. But for now, notice what he's saying. I will certainly not cast them out. Whoever comes to me, I will not throw them away.
Praise God.
Amen.
Right?
That's right.
That, I told the students at YCC Friday night, some of you were there. Thank you for coming. I told them that when I was growing up, there are a lot of people in my life in school, not my family, but there are a lot of people in school that just were, just as June cast me out. I was bullied. Nothing severe, but severe enough for a kid, you know? And then in high school, I was just invisible. My guidance counselor, I don't even know his name. I never met him, but he had predetermined who was going to do well in college, and that's the only people he talked to. I wasn't one of those kids. There were plenty of people that had just discarded me. But if you come to Jesus, it doesn't matter what your social standing is. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life. It doesn't matter where you're at. If you come to Jesus, He does not cast you out.
Amen.
And that's good news. Praise. And we're surrounded with people, by people, who need that message.
Yeah.
If you come to Jesus, He doesn't throw you away. There are other people in your life, they will. There are some people who say, man, you messed up one too many times, I'm done with you. If you come to Jesus, He never throws you away. Now, you can walk away from Him.
That's right.
But He doesn't throw you away.
That's right.
And then He says, I've come down to heaven to do not my will, but the will of one who sent me. And here's another message we need desperately in our society, isn't it? If we're going to follow Jesus, it's not going to be about what we want. And it's not going to be about standing up for our rights and our privileges. It's going to be about what God wants. Because that's what our Savior did. He didn't come demanding His rights. He is the Son of God. He could have been born in a palace. He could have been born to wealth. He could have been born to... Instead, He was born in poverty, laying in a manger. Jesus didn't come to demand His rights. But somewhere, and again in our country, we feel that Christianity is all about standing up for your rights. We come to church and we complain about all the things that aren't how we want them. It's not about you. This is about the body of Christ attempting to do the will of God. It's about laying down our will so that God's will be accomplished. I had a young person ask me, so are you saying that you'll do what God asks you to do no matter what? Yes. Yes, I am. I have laid down my right to determine what's right and wrong. God is the one that determines that in my life. And throughout the Gospel of John, Jesus makes that very clear. I'm not here doing my will. I'm not here doing what I want to do. I'm here to serve the Father. And I believe that's why we're here as well. And this is the will of the one that sent Him. That of all those who have been given to Him, He loses nothing. But later on in this gospel, Jesus Himself will say, I did lose one. The son of perdition. Judas. And that brings up a very interesting thing about God. God doesn't always get what He wants.
Mm-hmm.
Peter tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but some people are going to perish. God doesn't always get what He wants. Now, I know He could if He wanted to. He could just say, okay, everybody's saved, done. But because of His character and because of who He is, that's not how He established that we come to Him. We come to Him through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God doesn't always get what He wants. And yet we live through our life acting like we should. Right?
Yeah, that's gone.
And then verse 40, I think, clears it all up. This is the will of the Father. Everyone who beholds the Son and believes in Him. Who does God give to Jesus? God said, Jesus, everyone who beholds you and believes in you, I give to you. He didn't handpick people. This is how He gives us to Jesus. Everyone who beholds Him. And Jesus uses the word that means to be a spectator. And I think He does that on purpose. Because these people are just wanting to be spectators of God. And He says, that's not enough. It's not enough. Several years ago, Kyle Eilman wrote a book, Not a Fan. And his point was, if you're going to follow Jesus, you cannot stay in the stands and say, yay, yay, Jesus. You've got to get out on the field and follow Him. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying here. It's not about beholding Him. It's not about being a spectator. It is about seeing Jesus and believing in Jesus. That's what it's going to take. And if you do that, then you have eternal life. And isn't that good news? And He's already said it, and He says it again, and on the last day I will raise them up. Rod was a little bit optimistic by the 11:30 time period. Just, yeah, hold on to that hope though, Rod.
Always there. There's always hope.
Paul in 1 Thessalonians were dealing with people who thought that Jesus was going to come back before anybody died. And so they're getting a little concerned because some people have died. What's going to happen to them? Are they going to miss out in the party? What's going to happen? And so Paul says to them, this is what it's going to be like. When Jesus comes back again, those who have died will be resurrected to meet Him in the sky. And then those who are on the earth still will then be gathered up into the sky. So when you die, it'll be like you fall asleep and you wake up in the morning and it feels like no time has passed. Except for me now. And then you'll be gathered up with Jesus in the sky. Now that doesn't sound too bad, does it? It reminds me of the scene of the Return of the King, where Gandalf and Pippin are sitting down and they've got a little bit of a reprieve in the midst of a battle. But the enemy is pounding on the gates and they're about to break through. And Pippin's like, so this is it then. This is the end. And Gandalf says, the end? Oh no. No, no. This is not the end. There are white shores. And then he goes on to describe this beautiful scene. And I can't remember all the words for it. But I remember Pippin goes, well, that doesn't sound too bad, does it? This is what God has brought you. He has brought you life. Life that is a spiritual life. Life that is more abundant than this physical life. Life that cannot compare to anything this world has to offer. And you have that right now. But you have life beyond this world. And when Jesus comes back again, if you've already died, it'll be like you've been woken up and you will be gathered up into the skies to meet with Jesus on that blessed holy day. Ah, that doesn't sound too bad, does it? That's what God's given you. He's already given you that. And when we demand for things in this world, we demand for a better car, we demand for better health, we demand for all these other things. In a sense, what we're saying is, God, you haven't given us enough yet. Eternal life now, resurrected, eternal life that lasts for eternity. Is that not enough? So keep praying for the physical things, because God does give us those blessings sometimes. My only point is that's not the guarantee. The guarantee is life with Christ that begins now and lasts for all eternity. And that should be enough for us, shouldn't it? One of the things that helped me this morning as I was getting angry and angry at God was to realize how much of a big baby I was being. Because my goodness, there are people who are struggling with so much worse and have such a tremendous faith that is beyond what I have apparently. Because they get it. It's not about this life. It's about life with God. It's about eternal life. That's what God's given you. That's what next week is all about. Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus came to this earth. He was born in humble means so that you could have life.
Praise God.
Eternal life. That's the gift. And it will be better than any gift underneath your tree next week. That's the gift. Isn't that enough? If there's anyone here that needs prayers for any reason, I encourage you. There is power in prayer, and I don't want to ever imply that there's not, because there is. I believe God could heal this shoulder, and if He decides to, I will praise God as a physical blessing, and I'll thank Him. There's just no guarantee He will. But I'll keep praying. If you need prayers, if there's something that you're struggling with, we encourage you to come and let us know, and we will pray over you. If you want to know more about our God that has given you such a great gift, a wonderful gift, we would love to talk to you about God. We would love to talk to you about what it means to be a follower of Christ. Whatever you need, please come as together we stand and sing.